The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. The Cold Slither, you'll be joining us soon.
Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Hold your insulting tongue and mock my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really hired, Mr. Stark?
And welcome to another assigned episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. Yay! I'm your host, Tim Theo Double G. Yay! And tonight I'm joined by the man working the sound effects at agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
We have joining us after a couple weeks off at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Just letting y'all know, I have just gone through pterogenesis, and my name is now Mach 6 after my father Mach 5. Thank you.
And our other host, PCN Dirt, aka Doug. Hopefully will be joining us later tonight. It's the holidays. He's busy with the family and whatnot, so hopefully he'll be joining the call a little later. But in his stead, we have two very special guests tonight. They are the co-creators of the Kickstarter Emergence Genesis, a superhero deck building game.
And yay! Yes!
First up, we have Brian BDM.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's your name again? Brian David Marshall, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
There he is.
And we also have Matthew Wang, a.k.a. Wang.
Wang.
Don't let Agent 70 sound effects drown you out. And we just also want to add that their other co-creator could not be on the show with us tonight. Let me make sure I get his name.
Anthony
right.
Conta.
Anthony Conta, yeah. Thank you. So many names to juggle.
Yeah. I use a lot of them up just with my name.
Well, yeah, you have like three first names. Jesus.
Seriously.
So, BDM, Wang, want to thank you both for joining us tonight. I guess, let's see, where to start with. I guess, tell us, how did this collaboration come about to go ahead and get this card game going?
Well, my life has been two careers. I started out actually in the comic book industry a long time ago. Have created comics and edited and published and done all sorts of stuff. And then somehow Matt Wang, when I met him, kind of dragged me in a different direction of making games and designing games. And, you know, we had a business where we were doing that. And we had the opportunity to create a game that was really embodied, that lived in a superhero universe that was, for us, you know, it felt like you would see a lot of these superhero universe games, and it was by people who had this idea of superheroes that, you know, someone had described comic books to them or had described comic book art to them, or, you know, they'd seen the Batman TV show from the 60s. You know, and it was all very kind of like pop art, and we really wanted something that was about our love of the superhero genre and, you know, by comic book creators. I've written comic books. We went out and got artists like Lee Motor and Giancarlo Caracuzza and
Amanda
Steve
Connor.
Ellis and Steve Riley and Jamal Igel and, you know, Amanda Connor and a bunch of other artists to all contribute artwork and help design the look and feel of the characters in this universe. Because, you know, we wanted it to be, you know, very legitimately
authentic.
Authentic, exactly. And even when we were doing our artwork, all the artwork is panels from sequences of action. So, you know, the artwork is generated sequentially. So it's just, you know, something we love. You know, we love games, we love comics, and we wanted to do something that honored both of those passions.
Wang, how did you and BDM actually meet for the first time?
Well, I'm going to date myself. We met years ago. Brian was running the kind of the best and the first only Magic the Gathering tournaments in New York City and the Tri-State area. I was a decent local player, and I started going to his tournaments for years, and we became friends. And then, you know, Brian opened up a store called Neutral Ground, and, you know, I went there all the time, and, you know, eventually, you know, I go during work, and then eventually, you know, I kind of quit my job to go to grad school and wanted to do something different, and then ended up meeting up with Brian because he was, you know, he had just sold Neutral Ground, and we decided to go into business together. And then about 9 years ago, we started a game company that eventually we worked on board games and card games and online games. And, you know, eventually we were able to build this superhero universe that we control now. And, you know, our company got acquired a couple years ago, but Brian and I are such good friends, and we wanted to kind of take the superhero brand and bring it to the masses.
Nice. So the whole Kickstarter, whose idea was it to go ahead and launch a Kickstarter to get the project going?
I mean, I think we've talked about doing a bunch of different Kickstarters over the, you know, I guess years now that Kickstarter and crowdfunding in general have existed. But we really wanted to find something that was the right project. And that's what this was. You know, we had this great game system and this really interesting way of playing games. We had this great artwork and this really, what I hope people will find is this compelling backstory to these characters. And, you know, it just seemed like the perfect sort of way to plunge into crowdfunding. It's not something we have a lot of experience with. Very scary. That's what it is.
I believe it.
It sounds like it is. And for those who
basically,
are watching,
you basically stalk yourself for 30 days. You know, like, you're just like constantly checking Twitter and checking Facebook and checking your Kickstarter page and obsessing over, you know, whether or not people will get you across the finish line.
Yeah, absolutely. Full disclosure, I pushed you guys over the $17,000 mark today.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was my backing that pushed you right over the edge of $17,000.
Awesome. And I know exactly the moment it happened because I was refreshing the page constantly.
And he did email us.
That's funny. That's funny. So absolutely, you know, like I said, full disclosure, I'm backing this. I believe Dirt is PCN underscore Dirt is backing this also. So you have to get that out. Oh, we got another one. So we're all in on this. We're looking forward to see this, if not at least make it to its goal. We hit some of the stretch goals. I wanted to ask. It's funny, I didn't realize that BDM had been one of the originators of Neutral Ground, because I went to Neutral Ground. I didn't come up as a Magic player, but my first experience with deck building was with Overpower. Because
this is a good story.
I have some funny Overpower stories.
Exactly. So, you know, this is definitely, you know, one of the progeny of Overpower, I think, and I hope that this does a better job of drawing in Magic players, because, you know, I'm more than willing to admit the gameplay, the mechanics of Overpower were fairly simple, and I think that they were kind of, I don't want to say childish, but at least overly simple for, like, the more seasoned Magic players. So what do you think, how do you think this compares to the Overpower game, and how do you think this kind of evolves that you know, the idea of having a superhero deck building game?
Well, so Overpower was, just getting into like technical game jargon stuff, Overpower is a collectible card game, which is, so that's a game where you're buying booster packs and it's like buying baseball cards and building your collection and then crafting a deck out of your collection of cards.
Sure.
What we call a deck building game now is a game where everything comes in one box, all the cards are there, and players start with a deck, a predetermined deck, usually of like, you know, 6 to 10 cards, and then each turn they use those cards to buy additional cards from the board, right? There'll be different cards out, and then as they buy those cards get shuffled into their deck. So what happens is you're building a deck from these available cards on the table, and each time you go through your deck, you've added cards and you started to craft a strategy and are developing this kind of different play experience maybe from the last time you played the game.
Understood.
So it's a fairly new type of game experience. The whole category of game was created by a game called Dominion. So if you've ever heard of this board game called Dominion, that was really the first of this archetype of games. And it's become super popular. There's, you know, a lot of different deck builders out there. You know, there's Dominion, there's Ascension, there's a Marvel, and there's a DC one. There's a lot of different ones out there. But what makes ours pretty unique is that, you know, I mean, we all know, like, when you're talking about superheroes and you're, you know, you really want to know which one's going to win in a fight. You know what I mean? Even if they're friends, you know, we've all read Marvel Team Up. You know, Johnny Storm and Peter Parker have to fight if they run into each other. And so our game is really, you're going to end up, you can play 2 to 4 players. And if there's 4 of us sitting around the table, we'd all have a superhero that we are playing as. And we're just trying to beat the snot out of the other 3 players. Right? We're trying to, you know, like, you know what? I got this. You guys are all going down. And you use your unique powers as that hero to, again, acquire cards, build this strategy, and not only attack your opponents, but defend yourself against them. So it's really unique in even in that category of deck building games,
okay,
in that there's this real level of interaction.
Right, because like you got to make a decision every turn. Are you going to attack? Are you going to defend when it's not your turn? Or are you going to build up your resources? So you got to make these choices. And so, you know, if all 4 of us were playing, you know, I can attack Brian, but I got to worry about the repercussions of him attacking me later, or should I just keep building?
When I play, I just always punch Wang. That's my strategy. It's fun to do. It's fun to say. So.
That's funny.
That's what she said.
Oh!
I have to admit that I've never played Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
But I told myself I'm gonna try to get into some gaming stuff, because like even mobile games I don't really play any, never really got into, but I did that today during lunch. I did download 2 mobile games on my iPad. Spider-Man Unlimited and the Marvel Contest of Champions.
Alright.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
So
all right.
Well, in that case, you might want to try Hearthstone, because that's also another one in the form of.
All right.
Hearthstone is kicking ass right now.
Yeah, it is.
Really well. Have not.
Do you guys know the history of Hearthstone? Like how it came about?
No.
Go for it.
So it really, you know, Hearthstone is by Activision and Blizzard, you know, World of Warcraft. So it was basically a couple UI guys, user interface guys, who basically created a game, and then everyone in the company started playing it. And it was not like an official project. It was just literally a side project of one of the guys who was just working there who wanted to create a fun game for everyone to play. And it's really now become, it's helped resurrect Blizzard and World of Warcraft, and brought a lot of people back into the World of Warcraft brand.
Wow. It makes about, what, $300,000 a day or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And I think that's the estimate I saw.
I was about to say, didn't Cryptozoic actually do a Hearthstone physical card game at once? At least I thought I read something like that.
Cryptozoic published a World of Warcraft card game. They published a physical World of Warcraft card game that had a loot inside. You know, so some of the packs would have a loot card in there that would let you unlock exclusive items in the World of Warcraft online game.
Right.
Yeah, and that doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Yeah, they got rid of that a bit ago.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, you know, BDM, I appreciate you giving us that quick rundown of how the, you know, of the game mechanic and describing it, because, you know, I'm definitely a novice to this, and as I've already dated myself with pretty much the one and only card game I've ever played, you know, in terms of like dueling, you know.
It's funny, I actually ran organized play for Overpower for Marvel back in the day.
Sure.
So, no, like, I was, like, Marvel had no money, remember? Like,
yes, Marvel of course.
Was, like, they were just, like, broke, you know, they're like, we're never, you know, who knows if we're going to stay in business. And we were running Overpower events, and I actually got, I want to say hired, but they didn't actually pay me.
Oh, no.
I think they gave you Speedball movie rights, right?
No, what they did was they would give me ad pages in Marvel Comics that I could then sell the ads to other people running tournaments. But yeah, we had a whole. We did really well with Overpower. That was a game that definitely illustrated to me the desire for people who, you know, that there was a desire among people to play games that were from this very potent genre that we all grew up with, that really is tied to our collective experience. So, I mean, certainly there is a connection in my mind from Overpower through to Emergence Genesis.
Sure.
In that sense of what, where it sits in space. Sure. But the reason I wanted to make that distinction, though, is when people think about Magic, you know, like, you know, you said you know, that you hadn't played Magic the Gathering, it's really daunting, you know. You have to, you know, buy multiple packs. You got to find someone else to play. What's nice about Emergence Genesis is you buy one box and you can sit down with, you know, three friends and the four of you can play the game. So it's not, you know, it's not like getting into a collectible card game where you need to make a lot of different purchases.
Understood.
I like Wang's working the Steadicam there. He's trying to reenact the scene from Goodfellas where they go into the Copa.
Oh no!
Going to start tipping people.
So, I was wondering who came up with the universe. I remember Wang was mentioning this earlier. Did you guys kind of brainstorm this universe of characters?
It's all BDM.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. We were working on a different project, and we wanted to come up with superheroes. And the kind of whole world really kind of unlocked itself from this initial group of four superheroes, which we call the Genesis Squadron, which is why the game is called Emergence Genesis. Emergents are what we call superheroes in our universe. You know, when people become teenagers, their powers emerge, and they can be, basically there's like four different types of heroes. There's, you know, speed-based characters, strength-based characters, psychic or mental, psi-based characters, and then a category of characters we call sculptors, which have the ability to, you know, like a fire sculptor would be someone who could make things out of fire, you know, create body armor out of fire, or create, we have a villain called the Mad Confectionist, who is, he's great, because he's, you know, he looks like this really scary-ass clown, but he also has these just buckets of, like, you know, molten candy that he can sculpt, that he can turn into these, like, monsters. Let me tell you something. You let Steve Ellis draw that, that gets very, very scary.
Sure.
So we have basically from sort of the game mechanics of, you know, what we wanted to do, we sort of created these four types of superheroes, these four types of villains, and this whole universe sprung forth with this really kind of pretty deep, I can go pretty deep on backstory, which I won't do here, but.
I know, but I really enjoyed reading that. That was, you know, like, it's all on the Kickstarter page. People will make sure to have the link up on the show page. You know, I was engrossed in it. I really was. I was very impressed at how deep the story went, and I'm actually looking forward to the tie-in comic book here.
We have about 100 pages of comic book story drawn by Steve Ellis.
Okay, well, that was gonna ask my next question.
Well, we could do it in reverse order, like Jeopardy.
What is? Gotcha.
Who did the character designs?
So a lot of different people. The majority of them were done by Steve Ellis and his Bottled Lightning studio. So that's Steve Ellis. At the time, it was Steve Riley, Jamal Eigel. But mostly working with Steve. Amanda Connor designed Moxie.
Okay.
Lee Motor designed Billy Stopless and Aloysius Zeroth. And Giancarlo Caracuzza designed Professor Helios. So it was a handful of different artists who worked on it in the beginning. And then at some point it was just all Steve Ellis, who's just been like this amazing collaborator on you know, creating these characters and fleshing out the world. He's super talented.
Wow. Well, the results speak for themselves. You know, just looking at these images up and down the you know, of the characters, it's very impressive. And I think I believe Dirt, our other co-host, was saying that one of the reasons why he was very quick to back the project is because the art is professional. And awesome. It's, you know, and it's just a great, great selling point that, you know, guess what? These are, you know, professional artists doing this, you know, working together with the game creators to, you know, to create this, you know, this universe and the deck building game out of it.
Right. I mean, we have one guy who's worked on some of the artwork for the game who was not a professional comic book artist. Everyone else has done, you know, work for Marvel, for DC, for all the major companies. The one guy who didn't, he's an art director for an animation studio. So, you know, he was, we gave him a pass on not having the comic book.
He might have worked on a show with Turtles.
I can get used to that. That's fine.
That's one of our selling points, is that we have well-timed sound effects for the most part. Alrighty.
So here's a question. Jumping ahead a little bit, is there a plan for maybe a digital version of the card game?
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. We've got a couple people who've already approached us, but we've been talking to a bunch of people. I mean, Brian and I have a huge plan for Emergence. You know, we're working on ebooks, you know, obviously digital comics. You know, we're talking to some entertainment companies about, you know, doing some other stuff more in traditional media. But yeah, mobile games or online games is definitely on the horizon.
Okay. Excellent.
All right.
Excellent. That's coming
probably more information than we were ready to give away. Why? But okay.
You heard it here first, people, on the Comic Book Chronicle.
Breaking news.
Right, we make it up. That's why we get 2 weeks, because next week on the breaking news section, you get to talk about that part.
That's right.
Nice.
We do want to remind everyone that there are 7 days left to contribute to the Kickstarter.
Yes, please.
Need about.
Yeah, and then, you know, we have a bunch of really cool. Some of the stuff we've talked about, like digital comics and you know, some of the ebook, you know, short stories and some other stuff. You know, there's some stretch goals there. So if we hit some of those stretch goals, we might get some stuff out there a little sooner.
Let's go over some of these nice stretch goals.
Yes.
And for anyone who has a lot of disposable income, we have some great custom action figures.
Oh.
I don't know if you follow the custom action figure kind of crowd, but you know, one of them. A friend of ours is Vernon Gibbs, who's one of the best custom action figure guys in the world. You know, a lot of his stuff, I think, was it Brooke Lopez has bought a bunch of his figures.
Yeah. He's the custom action figure artist to the NBA All-Stars. Not even joking. It's like a weirdest... It's about as weird a title as you could get, but that's what he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's done a handful of figures for us for the characters for the Kickstarter campaign. And if they don't, you know, if they don't go, then from my living room, you know, either way.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, the Kickstarter page does have images of, I believe, one if not two of the.
Yeah, I'm showing one of them right now.
Right.
One of the
figure for Professor Helios.
Yes.
Who is the first? He's a fire sculptor, so you see, it's like, he was actually much more of a badass when he was younger, but his son was killed because he didn't sort of educate him about the dangers of being an emergent and didn't really know his son was an emergent. He was too busy saving the world. So he's now retired to be, you know, basically this kind of very, you know, safe, quiet, demure professor teaching other young emergents how to use their powers. But he still wields a sword and shield made out of fire. So he's, you know, he's still able to kick some ass. But he used to be, if we ever get to the point where we review, you know, show the older version of him, or I guess the younger version of him, he was a pretty badass individual. And the cool. First, and really the first emergent in this universe. Yeah, he was the first character, you know, the first person to demonstrate superpowers in sort of the Genesis Squadron, which is the original superhero team in this world, formed, coalesced around him.
Gotcha. Alrighty. Well, is there anything else you guys want to plug? I guess we kind of discussed the highlights of the campaign.
Yeah, are there any social media sites you want to have, you know, draw people to so they can watch you as you try to promote to reach that last?
You know what? I'm at Top 8 Games on Twitter, which is a great way to stay in touch with us. We have a Emergence Genesis Facebook page. So if you just look for Emergence Genesis deck building game, we have a Facebook page that you can like and get a lot of information about what's coming up with the game. Matt, anything on your end?
No, I'm at MattWang97. If you want to hear about games, comics, entrepreneurship, good food, just follow me.
There you go.
True. If you ever need a place to eat anywhere in the world, you send a message to Matt Wang. And he will give you, like, the best food recommendation.
I need to remember that, because I'm always...
No, it is absolutely true.
Decide on places to eat. But I live... I frequent small towns, so... Unless Matt...
drive me.
I'm telling you, he'll surprise you.
You never know. You never know. So, again, the Kickstarter is for Emergence Genesis, a superhero deck-building game. They have 405 backers. They're at $17,000 plus with 7 days to go. Get in there, people. Back this
project. Happen.
Back this project. It's quality stuff. We need a superhero deck-building game out there for people like me who, you know, for God's sakes, I need to, you know, get back into this. Card game.
Absolutely.
I shared the Kickstarter link on Twitter so people will be able to get to it there. And I'll have it on the website as well.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. We'd love to. I'm going to be at the Uncommons, which is a store here in New York, on Tuesday, doing a demo of the game. So if anyone is in the New York area, and again, if you're follow my Twitter account. I'll be tweeting about it, I'm sure, incessantly over the weekend. But we're going to be doing some live demos of the game. Anthony Conta, the lead designer for the game, is going to be there and sort of show people how it works, get a little bit of a sense of what the artwork's going to look like. It's still, you know, proxied up, but we have cards with artwork on them. And it's a lot of fun. You get to beat me up. So, not saying you'll definitely win, but, you know. Pretty good chance.
Excellent stuff. So, I guess we can move into, Tim, do you want to take care of our normal plugs? Because we do have to pay the bills.
Oh, yes. Well, first, BDM, Wang, you're more than welcome to stay on the show and listen to us rant and rave about the comic.
And join in. Join in.
You know, I've moved into the mode of Netflixing my comics. I actually only binge comics now. So I don't actually I actually don't do the Wednesday thing anymore. So I don't read the comics month to month. I'm like way behind, and I kind of like pick stuff up in like very random. Like I just read like the Ed Brubaker run of GPCD or GCPD.
Wow.
You know, recently. So like, you know, I'm in that Netflix binge mode where I'm not reading the comics week to week because I can't take it. You know, I can't take it. I'm still a little kid with the comics. So I do the trade paperbacks and the collections.
Sure.
And, you know, I've just, you know, recently finished Hawkeye or caught up on Hawkeye with, so like, I'm like all out of sync. So I'm a bad person for this. I love comics, but I don't do the floppies anymore.
Well, if you want to stick around, just listen and just see what's up, you know, then you're more than welcome. I know Wang is down with the weekly poll.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what she said, too?
Ah! I knew I was hoping you'd set that up. You'd pick up that setup. I was hoping you would. Let's play those bills, Tim.
So, yes. Make sure to go to the website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. You can also follow the Twitter account, at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube, youtube.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Just search for TheClickNation. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. Remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're at home and you feel like just having us on in the background while you're doing other things, we don't mind that at all.
It's all good.
Keep up with the Twitter account at TheClickNation, and I always share the YouTube link before the show goes live.
And I just posted the link for the doc just now.
Awesome.
Oh, I forgot my train of thought.
Sorry. Oh, we are a member of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Yes. So go to coldslitherpodcast.com where you can find our podcast, Comic Book Chronicles, The Good and Terrible Show, and other podcasts which are available at the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
The Baker Bone and Rome Show is pretty funny, people. You should try it out.
As is Good and Terrible.
There you go.
And I'm trying to pull up the ads to read. Hold on, I got it here.
I want to read one next time.
Me too.
Yeah, I need to set the make sure y'all have access to it. Let's see, this will be a funny one. Do not laugh too hard at this
one. All right.
Okay.
As I try to get it up. Did I get all the plugs?
I think so.
Yes, I tried to buy some.
Oh, and comicrelated.com. Shout out to comicrelated.com.
Okay. News Nerds Need, Reddit, ClickNation.com, PopCultureNetwork.com, just to cover the bases again. Oh, yeah.
Dirt's website is PopCultureNetwork.com, so make sure to check that out.
There you go.
So this is as far as the Coastal Podcast Network and keeping our podcast free on there. We read ads live on the air. This is for Adam and Eve Toys.
Yep.
Looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Why not surprise your lover with an adult sex toy from Adam and Eve Toys? Now, listeners of the Coastal Podcast or Comic Book Chronicles can enjoy a 50% off discount on any item available at AdamEveToys.com. You can use this discount on... Oh, okay. You can use this discount on...
yes, great.
You can use this discount on vibrators, sex toys, lingerie, lubes and lotions, condoms, or some other naughty novelties found on their site. To receive this discount, visit the official site of the Cold Slither Podcast Network, coldslitherpodcast.com, then select on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of their site. Scroll down and click through our Adam and Eve Toys banner at the bottom, then go shopping. As you check out, put in the promo code OTOYS, spell O-H-T-O-Y, at checkout to reduce any item's price up to 50%. Remember, you have to click through the link at coldslitherpodcast.com to keep our podcast free with your order. Order Adam and Eve Toys through coldslitherpodcast.com.
We got to get Classic on the show to read that one.
I was about to say, we need to get in touch with our advertising department.
Did we run BDM off?
We did run BDM off. BDM was like, I don't want to hear about this week's comics.
This is actually, hey, you know what? There's a parallel, so.
I had other options. I probably could have picked a different one.
That's funny.
I wish I had read Sex Criminals this week. That would have worked perfectly.
I swear, Classic has to come on and read that one. I can't wait for him to come on and read that one. Full disclosure, Wang and I went to school together, and Classic went to school with us also.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Dork Geekers, Adam and Eve. This is how we do up in here.
Yeah, that's right.
Blame it on me. I could have picked a different one. That was just too funny.
That was awesome.
All right.
Oh, I love this. Dork Geek has even picked up on our joke. Weekly pull to pay the bills.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta love it.
All right. So first we're going to start with cinematic news. Deadpool begins production in March. Ryan Reynolds closing deal. So,
whoop-de-doo.
Yep. Wow.
Wonder Woman gets pan screenwriter Jason Fuchs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sci-fi developing Krypton TV series from David Goyer.
What do you guys think of that? That they're kind of using the Gotham template to do something for Superman.
Yeah, it was bound to happen. That's about the best you can say for it.
Batman, do it for Superman.
Yeah, sure.
Wasn't that Smallville?
Well, this is before that.
Right.
This is like his dad. Well,
no, I know. I'm just saying.
Right. No. You're right. But I'm just kind of thinking in the current market, what they're mining, and they're mining the past.
Now the difference is that because it's not on CW, it might not have the angst of Smallville, let's say.
True.
Although it is sci-fi, whatever, but you gotta take that for what it is also.
Right. Well, isn't this like Caprica also? I mean...
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen this show before, right? Just now they're throwing funny helmets, Kryptonian helmets.
Yeah. I think we're on the same page on that one, so...
That's funny.
All right, next up we've got The Flash. Mark Hamill will once again play the Trickster, which he first played in the 1990s Flash show and then in the Justice League cartoon.
Yep.
True story, I have his autograph because he went to West Side Comics on 86th Street between Amsterdam and Columbus.
Nice.
When I was growing up.
Nice.
The man, the myth, the legend himself, Mark Hamill.
Did you ask him to do the Joker voice?
Or no,
was this even before that?
Yeah. It was before. It had to be before.
788.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. Teen Titans begins shooting next year for TNT.
And they said Nightwing was supposed to be in it, which I guess, sure.
I love how there's like, there's all these new, there's different news articles. And the majority of it is like common sense stuff, but it's like breaking news: Nightwing's gonna be a part of the Teen Titans series.
Right?
Yeah, you kind of figured that.
Like, it would have been dumb if that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I guess it could have been Robin. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to tie into Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Yep.
Guardians of the Galaxy up for a Grammy.
Awesome.
Jason Momoa unleashes a deluge of Aquaman details. Things like, he signed up for 4 movies.
Exactly. Didn't they reveal that he's going to be, that they're trying to do at least 3 of these Aquaman movies?
And he's going to be Hawaiian. I think I saw that.
Well,
sure. I mean, hey.
So, yeah, it's like, okay.
What costume is he going to wear? That's what I want to know. Is he going to have the hook? Is he going to have the orange costume or the awesome blue and white costume? Which one is he going to wear?
I think you might be up on Aquaman way more than anybody here, but I don't know.
Well, and then there's a sidekick, too. Don't forget the Morris.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Aqualad, but okay.
That's funny. That is funny. All right. Gosh. It was all a dream.
Yeah.
Christian Bale on If the End of Dark Knight Rises Was a Dream. Who cares? Everyone keeps asking his opinion on stuff concerning Batman. It's like, move on, people. He's not Batman anymore.
The Affleck is your new Batman.
Yes, Batfleck. Yes.
Accept it.
Batfleck.
Don't forget he's the bomb in Phantoms.
What's that?
He was the bomb in Phantoms.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Claire Holt might be out of the running for the CBS Supergirl TV series, which sucks because she was pretty.
All right.
So Sony, everyone knows Sony was hacked and a bunch of their information was leaked online. Along with that was some emails concerning back and forth between Marvel and Sony concerning Spider-Man appearing in some Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. And out of that also was a planned animated Spider-Man comedy from the Lego Movie directors. Not sure what to think of that. Mm-hmm. Blair Underwood is joining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know who his role is. I saw that news today, but haven't had time to check it out.
Agent May's ex-husband.
Right.
Oh, interesting. Oh. Hmm. They kill one brother and then they recruit him for another.
Yeah.
Can only have so many of us.
Oh.
Well, they do have the one fixing the plane, so, you know.
Marvel Contest of Champions game available for mobile devices.
Which is not bad, actually. Go try it. Yeah.
I saw a preview of it at New York Comic Con. It looked pretty good. I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Are you allowed to play any of the X-Men or Fantastic Four characters in it?
I want to say yes, but I haven't gotten that far into it.
All right.
Because it's basically a contest of champions, so which means everybody is on the table.
Alrighty.
Let's go back a second. I gotta talk about this. The Bat Kid Begins documentary to premiere at Slam Dance, which is cool. I think I don't know if people know about the story. It's a story of a 5-year-old kid who had leukemia, and his wish was, I think he had to make a wish to become Batman for a day, and they fulfilled that, and I think it was taped apparently, or it was recorded apparently, and now he has a movie that is there's a movie about it that is coming out, which is, I don't know if it's going to go wide, but I don't think so, but it's a pretty cool thing if you ever get a chance to check it out. There's a trailer on the story, on the bottom of the story, but you know, go seek that out. It's a feel-good story.
All right. Okay.
Peter Stormare will return as Vertigo and Arrow. Okay.
All right. You guys want to talk about... I know Wang doesn't want to necessarily be spoiled about some of the shows that dropped this week. There's some big things happening, apparently, on Flash, on Arrow, and on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
Should I just come back?
No. We'll just talk about it without spoilers. So I'll talk about the one I actually did watch, the one I actually do watch, which is Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Unfortunately, we did hint at the fate of one of the brothers on the show. Spoiled it. You didn't even give
whatever,
me a chance
man.
To hit the bell, man.
Whatever, man.
So, rest in peace. But we do get some reveals. A lot of these reveals were bandied about on social media and online, and most people had these reveals pegged, but it was still pretty interesting to see them pull it off and how they pulled it off. So I would recommend anyone who's got it on DVR or can catch it on demand, go back and catch it to see how they pull off the reveals that they did this week. You won't be disappointed.
Does Black Bolt show up?
Ah! I can safely say, without spoiling anything, no. But no. There's a hint there. I see what you did there.
All right.
And you guys, anything on Flash or Arrow?
So Flash was a little, if you want to go to that one. You did see Flash, right, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, no spoilers, though. Because
So basically,
you can watch it.
It was a, let's just go with, it was a Christmas episode. Well, some of this stuff has already been kind of said anyway, so it's not that much of a spoiler. So we get somebody else comes into the fold that has been hinted around. We finally get to see Flash's arch nemesis show up finally, and okay. We also get a potential reveal of who that is, which I'm still not entirely convinced that that's the case, but all signs point to that's the case. I'm sorry, what?
Can I ask you guys a question about the show? I'm only like two episodes behind, but who do you think the professor dude is in the Flash Rose Gallery?
Let's just say you might get that answer in this very recent one.
I have a guess. I can throw it out there, but...
Go for it.
Abracadabra.
It's not a bad guess.
Not a bad guess.
He's from the future.
I was thinking Bart Allen personally, and I'm still thinking on the table of that. But judging by the last one, we're not. That's not.
That it's, might it's not. It's not Max Mercury.
We're digging real deep into DC lore now.
So, and outside of that, it was a Christmas Christmas episode, and a not so secret. You know, that was less of an issue gets brought out between a couple of the characters.
All right.
So I don't know if Tim got anything
else. Right?
Huh, personal stuff, yeah.
Yeah, interpersonal stuff, I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Tim got anything else on that one.
I mean, can't we talk about either shows without spoiling too much? I see Flash came on for Tuesday. That's, we saw the battle with the Reverse Flash, and we got some... at least answers to some characters. Arrow. We got Oliver versus.
I don't watch Arrow, so you guys can spoil away.
He fought Ra's al Ghul, and it went a way.
It went a certain way.
Yes.
I love
To answer Dirk Geekus real quick, I'm still kind of on board with Eddie Thorne being reverse, future Eddie Thorne being reverse Flash too, but I'm not so sure about that. Oh, I don't know, that one's still kind of on the table. We don't really know. And as far as Bart being interracial black by now, I don't know, because I don't read Flash.
I love it. All right. I
mean, Wally is, so...
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, as far as Arrow is concerned, that's pretty much the gist. Oh, we do find out who Sarah's killer is.
Oh, ooh. Yes. Yep.
Well, looks like I got to look
who up. Who I thought it was.
So I guess I got to catch up and watch this episode this week. Okay.
So let's see. Into news. Let's see, more news.
Comic news.
Eric Powell brings Big Man plans to Image. DC explains how Convergence fits into Future's End.
And did anyone read this article?
No, I've read nothing.
Did you read it?
No, I didn't read it. I was hoping someone could summarize it for me because I really want to understand how Convergence fits into the New 52.
What I've started doing is after the show on the weekends, I go back and go through the spreadsheet and start reading the news.
I love it.
And where we're on that, you can skip this one, but Convergence is going to take $365 to get the complete set of.
Oh.
Well, doesn't matter because I'm not reading a lot of it.
Read it much.
Goodness gracious.
Dover to publish a new edition of Secret Teachings of a Comic Book Master, The Art of Alfredo Alcala.
All right.
Comic enthusiasts working to honor Captain America artist Alan Bellman and writer Stan Lee. Marvel has discussed Spider-Man appearing in Captain America Civil War with Sony.
Again. Yeah, that came out of those the hacks.
The leaks, yeah.
Yep.
Arcade Brewery releases Jason Aaron and Toni Morris Festus Vodka comic on beer bottles.
That's a good way to put it out there.
Going back to gaming and mobile gaming, play out the Spider-Verse story on your mobile device in Spider-Man Unlimited game, Temple Run, but with Spidey.
Pretty much.
Never played Temple Run, so.
Oh, well.
You basically run.
Yeah, you run and jump over things. You get vials and energy, and you get to collect different Spider-Mans from different eras and whatnot.
Which are your favorite Spider-Man?
So far, there's Spider-Gwen, there's Noir.
Who do you like?
Oh, me personally? I mean, 616, Spidey. I mean, I did like Superior. That book was pretty good.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I don't have Spider Woman, but whatever. I guess those, because those, you know, I'm Miles Morales is pretty good, but I haven't read the book, but so I don't, not too informed on that too much.
No, I really like Superior. Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, awesome. Superior is really good.
Like Miles,
a lot of fans of Superior here on the show.
Yeah.
I hate Reddit. I did. I am on record as saying I hate Reds.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
I make a point not to go on Reddit because I don't need another distraction. Humble Bundle and Dynamite team up again for Mega Holiday Bundle.
All right.
Agent 70, did you buy the My Little Pony Humble Bundle?
No!
Dirt might have. His kid or kids are fans of the My Little Pony.
That's funny. Shout out to Dirt.
Shout out Dirt. As Roddy Cat mentioned earlier, collecting DC Comics Convergence will cost you $365. Yeah. I guess you probably could say that for any comic that if you took like 2 months worth of comics.
Yeah, we don't know how much access or any of these other events is gonna.
I can't wait till we get to comic news so I can rant on that.
Reviews, I gotcha.
Free Comic Book Day 2015 includes Marvel Secret Wars, Pokemon XY, and more. And as I was scrolling Twitter a little earlier, I saw someone post DC has the DC logo and says Top Secret underneath it.
Ooh.
Yeah, seriously. Where's the drama?
Who's going to have any money left after 300? Oh, no, the comic is free.
Oh. Yeah.
Rat Queens has a new artist, Stefan Sijic.
Sure. You got me, dude. You put all those dashes and apostrophes on there. I don't know what to do.
And I thought this was one person, but I'm thinking that I think there's like two people with last name Sijic, and I'm not sure if it's like brother or brother sister or
wife,
husband. Or, but I saw some I guess preview pages and art looked nice.
Yeah, I've seen some of the stuff I've seen. Not the other stuff. I've seen like one or two other things that he's done.
Whoa! What is this? Dork Geekus, I hope you're paying attention. Next story. Here comes.
That was for him. That was specifically for him.
I'm actually going to click this during the show so I can read this. And Injustice, Gods Among Us, comic writer Tom Taylor departs. Brian Bustolato takes over. I'm glad you included that today. That's like the one bit of news I did catch this morning. Okay, so I got the article open. This is going to be interesting. From Bleeding Cool, of course. At the Cup of Joe panel at San Diego Comic-Con this year, Brian Bendis told one questioner that Bendis told a fan that doesn't make sense, as well as big plans for the Ultimate line being another mispronounced word, announced will about now.
Let's cut to the chase. He's planning the trial of Harrison Ford. Let's not read.
Who wrote this sentence?
Let's not read this
chapter. Yeah, that was good. They're
Yeah, they're planning the trial of Hank McCoy, a story looking at Hank McCoy's recent mistakes, bring all the new X-Men to our time, probably, or maybe getting down with the Illuminati.
That's
And it's talking about today's Avengers, which I haven't read yet, so actually I don't want to read this.
Oh, yeah, I read it. Ooh, yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, I need to read. That's right, because the Uncanny X-Men annual came out too today, yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't read that.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway.
The time travel check?
Yes. Yes. Tempest.
Yeah.
So
Dorkeekus, we're getting the trial of Jean Grey. I think now I'm trying to remember that I actually remember hearing about this and just forgot or not. Like back during San Diego Comic Con or New York Comic Con. All right. Got excited for a minute there. Any variant covers you want to?
There's a bunch of Star Wars covers and Star Wars number one covers, including a giant size X-Men one that looks pretty cool. Jim Lee's Flash variant is all right. It's kind of funny. And, there's the Black Vortex bookmark, but there's not really much to that one.
Oh, that is a cool giant size X-Men style variant. Was it this week where they announced... already announced about the new Star Wars number one basically selling
a million
copies.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I guess based on pre-orders.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's Jim Lee X-Men number one all over again.
All over again.
Hey, congrats to Jason Aaron.
Yeah, really.
Seriously. I wonder what kind of royalties he gets on that.
That's what I'm talking about. Bring out the behind the scenes thought process.
I'm sorry, I was just reading Dorkeekus' tweet.
Yeah, I was about to pull it up too. So Dorkeekus, for those that don't know, Dorkeekus and I, at least not lately, but like
he has a thing against Hank McCoy and the time travel shenanigans therein.
For some reason, Hank McCoy's done almost as much damage to like the time stream and whatnot as Wolverine has, but he doesn't get any of the flack.
Yeah, you might want to let that one go there, homie. That's all I'm saying. Just...
The best
part is that it's from the whatchamacallit. What is that?
Time to Kill?
Yeah, it's Time to Kill. I was going to say it's that that movie where he plays the murdering father. Oh, my gosh. Sam Jackson.
Oh, man.
In due time. All right, so Agent Sabretooth actually read a couple books. I've read three.
I read a couple.
Let me go ahead and get the one I actually wrote a review of, which you can find on theclicknation.com and popculturenetwork.com out the way. And that was the Valiant number one from Valiant Comics. This is kind of, Valiant Comics has been building to the Valiant for probably like 6 months or so, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Basically where... So they have their Unity book, which is basically their Avengers-style book, where they bring all the big heroes of their universe together. And you can almost look at the Valiant as almost the same type of idea, except it's not as many members, and it's more focused.
Okay.
The story revolves around the Eternal Warrior, who is an immortal, and how throughout the years he's been tasked with protecting the Geomancer, which is someone that I forget the specific definition of Geomancer, but they like talk to the Earth, or they're like the representative of the Earth. And there's been this evil power that has been killing the Geomancers through the years, and the Eternal Warrior has been unable to save the Geomancer each time, and it's happened 3 times. So of course now it's the 4th time, it's about to come up, and he knows he needs backup, so that's how the Valiant is formed, with Armstrong from Archer and Armstrong, and Exo Manowar, the current Geomancer, who is a woman this time, and Bloodshot.
Okay.
And that's basically the issue. So issue starts like in the past, showing how he's failed each time, and then gets to like the current day, and the Geomancer and Armstrong are having a conversation in like a lounge or bar area. And then we see like Bloodshot off on a mission, doing what he does best, to steal a phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the writing duo of Matt Kent, who's been doing a lot of writing for Valiant lately, and Jeff Lemire making his Valiant debut, and art by Paulo Rivera.
Really?
Yes.
Paulo Rivera is doing this. He's moved over from, he had a long stint on Daredevil.
So yes, I don't know if this was his Valiant debut or not, but here he is. And it's a 4-issue limited series, and this kicks off their Valiant Next initiative, which is they're kind of doing like the Marvel type thing of like they had a bunch of ongoing series are ending, and then they're gonna start like they're gonna start back over with like new number ones for not even for like the previous books. It's like all new stuff is coming out. Like so, the Valiant will end, and then there's gonna be like Ivar, the Time Walker book, something called Divinity, Imperium, Ninjak ongoing series, and a new Bloodshot series.
All right.
And Matt Kent, I believe, is writing the Ninjak series, going to write Ninjak, and Lemire is writing Bloodshot, spinning out of the Valiant, of course. And they're going to, like, we call it, they're doing like not releasing them all at the same time. It'll be across a couple months.
They're staggering it.
You're staggering is the word I was looking for. Yes, thank you.
I was just asking if they're Quantum and Woody is still around, right?
They're still around, but they won't have a ongoing series I think the new books are coming out until March, so maybe after March something will come up for Archer. Quantum and Woody. Actually, there's some other Quantum and Woody limited series or something. Quantum and Woody Must Die, I think it's called. Because Steve Leiber's drawn it.
And they brought back. They found Christopher Priest. They brought him back out of retirement.
Yes. I forget what that series is called. Also, that Christopher Priest is doing.
Or do I call him James Oswald?
It's like something like Q2 or something like that.
Yeah.
I was really psyched. I'm going to buy the digital versions of that. I just don't have any room to buy that. But that was just one of my favorite series Valiant ever did.
It was mine, too, and I'm disappointed in myself that I've fallen off of Quantum Woody. I like what James Asmus was doing with it.
Oh, yeah. No, I read the first 12 issues. It reminded me of the old days.
And I believe Asmus actually is writing the one that Lieber, the little other mini-series that Lieber's doing the art on.
All right. Cool.
So anyone else can go next?
Well, Roddy Cat, I see that you posted a couple of books. Why don't you pick one, because it looks like we read some similar things.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was kind of breezing over one we'll get to in a minute. But let's go with Federal Bureau of Physics, because as people know, that's my book. There's a different artist on it this week, but the art is still pretty good. It's cut in a couple of spots where Adam looks like he's lost his tan and looks kind of rough. But outside of that, the story is kind of going as it tends to. We finally get to see why the universe is like it is. Or at least the explanation of why the universe is as it is, and what it's coming to. Let's just say there's, as I said in my notes, there is an everything dies quotient that could be going on here. Adam finally finds the man he was looking for and gets his property back from his dad, who is pretty much kind of the, not necessarily the catalyst for all this, but he kind of saw all of this coming. And the guy is kind of trying to find a way to stop what's going on in the world, but Adam's not trying to have any of it. And that's pretty much the book. It was a pretty good read if you liked the book.
All right. I mean, you've been on Federal Bureau of Physics, you know, from the start, so I'm glad that you're still enjoying it 16 issues in.
Yeah. And outside of that, so what's the one that you wanted to bring up?
Well, I was looking at your list. Do you want to just get it over with? Because, you know, our show is pretty much derailed tonight after a great start with Emergence Genesis. Let's just talk about Bitch Planet number one.
Oh, yes. Let's.
By Kelly Sue DeConnick on writing duties. And let me pull this up so that I can see who the artist is.
I will go ahead to say that, as with many of our other us with other of the books, it's kind of divisive.
Yes, I agree.
So I haven't got to it yet. I'm gonna plan on it though.
Yeah, I actually liked it, but it was a little because if you know the vibe that it's trying to get to, it's there. This is not for the kids.
Oh, so definitely not.
Let's just say from jump, don't read your kids this. But it does seem to kind of, like, we don't necessarily know everything that's going on in the world, but we get bits and pieces of it, but it is in bits and pieces, let's say.
Sure.
Like, there's no thread, or at least not, there's no seems to be thread, but as, if Pretty Deadly is any indication, that's probably going to come out in the next couple of issues.
Right. I mean, they do set up the premise, they sort of explain the title at least.
Yes.
Where, you know, Valentin Delandro is the artist and also handling cover duties for the book. I always wanted to get that out there. I was looking for the credits page. You know, the premise is that, you know, these... goodness, I hate to say this, you know, but
it's a female-run Pino Planet.
Yes, that's actually a very good way to put it. I was actually going to go far more vulgar and use the, you know, the title of the book to help describe what the book is about.
Yeah. So basically, whenever some woman
steps out of line or is found
out of line or does something that's not compliant, as they say, they ship them off here to this planet. And it is pretty much like almost any woman in prison movie from back in the 70s that you have ever watched, if you have ever watched any.
Right.
I feel bad that some of these you know, high profile image books that everyone like drools over the minute they come out, I can't get into, even though everyone else does.
I still think a lot of these books are really targeted towards, you know, towards niche audiences.
Yeah.
You know, I remember Dirt was talking about this last week where, you know, his shop in Illinois doesn't really get the same traffic or sales volume for these image books that maybe a store in New York would. I know that the little shop I frequent in the Village sells out of Saga all the time. And I believe Dirt said last week that his shop has like two or three people tops that pull Saga every week. So I think that, you know, a title like Bitch Planet is definitely targeted towards a niche audience. I'd like to hope that there's people who would be willing to give this a shot because I think it's well written. Mm-hmm. I think the story is pretty cohesive. I think the art helps tell a very good story. This may very well read better in a collected format because I felt like I was left with too many gaps in logic or at least gaps in storytelling to really enjoy the book.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's funny, I say that, but then I can think of a couple of image books that I do like. So I guess, just got to find the ones that appeal to you.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and I guess, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I just go on Comixology to get, I know they're not floppies. I go every week, but on Comixology, that's where I experiment with a lot of these image books because, you know, a lot of times you get a trade paperback for $2.99, $3.99. I can, you know, especially when they have a sale, I'll just roll the dice.
Yeah, I'm same here, and I'm pretty 98% digital at this point. So with the exception of stuff, I was like, you know what, yeah, I'll get a physical copy of this book here every now and then. So.
All right.
See what else. Yeah, that is that. I can't remember. I was going to say something about what Dirt was talking about last week about people buying for – that's what it was. People buying certain writers because they're fans.
Following certain writers.
Yeah, which – and there is some of that, and there is – I think as he alluded to or said that people buy stuff for certain genres and this and that and the other. I know I kind of split the difference on that myself, and I guess that's kind of the way it seems to be because, yeah, you might be a fan of this person, but not everything they do is going to appeal to you. So
correct.
You kind of try it out, you know, or if it appears to you, you go into it and go from there,
right,
kind of thing. So that's all I was going to say about that.
Okay. Do you guys want to just get it over with? Did anyone here read Access Number 7?
Yeah.
Let's get it over with.
Yeah.
Just in case, Wang, if you hadn't figured it out by now, we're not fans of this Access crossover / limited series.
It has potential. It's been some good stuff in it, but it's not.
We're suffering through it.
Falling.
Yeah. As someone that's been following the Uncanny Avengers arc, it has definitely disappointed.
Yeah.
So, one problem is it feels like, I guess maybe because it's coming out every week almost, it feels like it's rushing through everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like it coming out weekly wouldn't be such a big deal if, like, interesting stuff was happening in it. It's like they're just all these, like stereotypical tropes of just, you know, they flipped the inverses of everyone, so it's like all your heroes are bad and all your villains are good and they're fighting each other and nothing's really happening.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that.
So this week there's a big thing happened, and are you a reader of this, Wang?
Yes, I am. That's why I took off my headphones.
Oh, okay. I won't ruin.
Yeah, we won't
prize, and it's.
I will admit I love the art on it. I just those first three issues were a little slow, even though they're pretty. You know, it was just like. I really want to like this series, so I'm hoping it ends really well. That's all.
That's weird because the first three were so far seem to be the better issues. Well, at least personally, the better issues. With the exception of a couple of things
the setup was better than the execution.
Yeah.
So far it has been.
I definitely feel that.
And aren't there like two issues left?
We're up to seven, yeah. I think it's a 9-issue series.
Right. Well, I'm having a big issue with, like, I love Sam Wilson. I love he's Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of this series, you know, he's Captain America and the Mighty Avengers. He's like an asshole. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Why do that? Like, are you kidding me? Really?
I think Tim and I have both had that same issue that, you know, going that because he's Captain America just in time for him to become inverted, and now, you know.
Have people hate him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I've said it on the show since these issues hit that I found it very difficult to read the first issue of the new Captain America solo series where Nomad guest stars. Because it's not tied into Axis. So it's weird to have the Sam Wilson Captain America that, you know, I guess we all expected to get, and then have Captain America and the Mighty Avengers have Jerkface Sam Wilson due to Axis crossing over into that book. So, you know, I kind of had a difficult time reading the two of them. I think they came out one after the other. So,
yeah, I'm just having a real issue with that because it's like it could be the first issue for someone. Someone might buy that issue wanting to read Sam Wilson, and he's a jerk.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. So, let's do this Access thing real quick. It's Avengers versus X-Men, but they're both ruthless. Don't worry, no spoilers. As he takes his headphones off again. Avengers versus X-Men, it's a fight, whatever. We see a revelation get thrown in there.
Yeah.
That's really kind of stupid. The end of page, I think I kind of like, and even though the better parts of the book for me had to do with the character that is more prominent than anybody, has been prominent, at least in this issue. and which is a character I don't like.
I love how vague this is.
Yeah, no, well, you know, this is not trying to spoil it for anybody, so
sure. We're good. All right.
Got anything else to add? And...
Well, basically just, I guess we're rushing towards the finish line. We have 2 issues left to see how this all plays out. This middle part of the Axis storyline, as I said earlier, has not read very well for me. I thought the setup was done pretty well, but the execution of this inversion has left me waiting for it to end, and we've been complaining about the series and just waiting for it to end to see where we end up for the better part of a month and a half, almost 2 months. Yeah. So, you know... we're just waiting for it to finish at this point.
It seems like the last couple of events have kind of gone that way. It's like it starts off with a good premise and then it kind of fizzles.
Oh, Fear Itself?
Yes.
There is that one. Age of Ultron. Infinity was actually decent. But...
No, I liked Infinity. Infinity, yeah. I think, is the best of the most of the recent crossovers.
Age of Ultron started off really well.
Yeah, but it just didn't. It didn't go
I
anywhere.
I never got into... Age of
like
Ultron.
The What If books were better, the better parts of Age of Ultron. That's well, at least personally. But that's how bad that was.
I did think Black Panther, the way he got killed in Age of Ultron.
Oh, I feel.
Yeah, don't bring that back up. Oh god.
We actually talked about that on the show, didn't we?
We did.
Tore that apart on the show.
Absolutely ridiculous.
No, he's one of my favorite characters. I have a full run of the Christopher Priest.
Oh, my man. All right.
There you go. That's wild.
I will, and now, before we end the Axis discussion, I want to mention how we have 2 issues left, and there's a character that's going to supposed to reappear in this series that hasn't reappeared yet.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Waiting on that. Anyway, so moving on. What else did... Roddy, I see you also read Avengers World number 16. We won't spoil where this goes.
No, well, isn't it for Doctor Doom's Avengers? Isn't it Doctor Doom's Avengers?
Yes.
Yeah, but he's nowhere. The cover is misleading because he's nowhere in the book. But
he's sort of in the book.
All right, fine. he's sort of in the book. But this is pretty much a continuation from last issue's battle. As it were, and their part in it. It's basically a bunch of C-Team Avengers, quote-unquote.
Right. Stingray is definitely...
All right, D, fine. All right, D-Team.
These are the guys in the background illustrations. When George Perez is doing like a big team shot, Stingray is like somewhere over there.
No one currently knows who 3D Man is, with the exception of the few people who's been there for a while. So
whoa,
that
whoa, triathlon. Cool. Come on, who doesn't know triathlon?
Triathlon.
Excuse me,
from the UCF Perez run.
I'm sorry, triathlon. That is his name. Yes.
That's funny.
Oh,
well, you were saying, yeah,
and there's a character reappears here, I hear.
Right, and there's a setup for it, and it's the setup that I had the biggest issue with, because the way we get from point A to point D is just complete. I was slack jawed reading this. I was like, how are we getting from this?
It was
this point to this point.
It was a total leap, and it was the
like shoehorn.
It was the broadest leap you could ever do, almost ever do, and that's a little bit hyperbole. I realized that, but it was just a giant leap from you go from this one battle where you're fighting Scarlet Witch,
and
then
Doom is involved. Doom is involved.
Yes, Doom is involved because you see him in a panel or two at the end, but then, well, hey, our part is done. Flip totally to, and yes, Doom comes in, because I don't remember, yes, Doom has a small part in this, and then we flip to this other totally different thing, has nothing to do with anything that is going on in the book, or Axis, at all.
Or anything that's been going on for a long, long time.
Exactly.
This is my big issue with Avengers World.
What's that?
This is my big issue with Avengers World, the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just like, I literally don't know what's going on half the time.
Well, see, here's the thing. I think Avengers World is pretty much suffering from Axis in this case, because the premise of the book has actually been decent. Like, you take an origin story and then break it up into the small Avengers groups doing things. That could work. You know, it's almost like, I think we even said it one time, like the old Avengers solo books or whatever the case may be. Right. It could totally work, but it being an axis and it being the tie-in that it is not working for it.
Right, but my issue, in this book, it was supposed to be for those new kind of Avengers, like, yes, Shang-Chi and Smasher.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got, like, they introduced Euroforce again, the new China Force, which I can't remember what they're called. It was, like, it wasn't a racist name, but it was, you know.
Yeah, it's like the Ascendants or something China like that. Force, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Any Chinese team with the Monkey King is going to be racist to me. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. You are not wrong. So yeah, that was pretty much of Avengers World. It was I don't know what it was, but hey, look out for another book that's coming up next month.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in all seriousness, I agree with you wholeheartedly. This book has suffered probably the most at the hands of Axis.
Who's writing Avengers World these days?
Is it Spencer right now, or
it's Spencer? I think, but I don't know if he wrote this one.
Actually, that's gonna change. Actually, he's not writing. He didn't write this one. Frank Barbary wrote it, and he's the new writer as of 17. What issue was this?
16.
Right, 16. I think as of 17 or 19, one of those odd numbers. He tweeted it last week, I think. Saying,
he becomes the new monthly writer. Okay.
Yeah, they co-wrote, and then he, Nick Spencer, passed the reins.
Because he's getting the book that it gets alluded to.
Yeah, no, Spencer's still on the credits here as a co-writer. And Frank Barbier, they're both listed.
Frank Barbier, he does, like, a lot of the villain books. Like, he does a lot of those villain books, right? Anytime there's, like, a one-shot special for some villain or some miniseries. Right, that's that guy, right?
I'm not sure.
Are you talking about Cullen Bunn?
No, not Cullen Bunn.
What was the description again? You were cutting out when you were describing it.
No. Like, sort of like the books, whenever they need a criminals in a miniseries, or the guys who did the heist in Stark Tower. That's right.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right? That's him.
I think so. All right. Let's see. Tim, did you read Avengers number 39?
No.
This was actually pretty good this week. This was. This is actually a clear candidate for my click of the week this week.
Same here.
I had a lot of fun reading this book. We won't go too much into spoilers, but we're starting to get towards the end game, I think, in this future of Avengers versus Avengers versus all sorts of people mixed in there. You know, because there's no FF at this point, but it's a story told from the point of view of Reed Richards with some narration to boot, and I think it's the narration that really helps sell the story and tell a great story. It's told from a note or a letter to Valeria from Reed Richards, mm-hmm. and. I think it proved to be a very effective way of telling the story, and the Diodato art was also very well done and definitely helped tell this particular story. It's it's ramping up the action in the book.
So you liked it?
I did. I'm trying to keep it as vague as possible, you know, without spoiling.
Yeah, I saw the bleeding cool article from earlier. I was like, there's something I was looking at, and I was like, oh, I had to let me close this. Because I haven't read it yet. Yeah.
Yeah, and there is a great cliffhanger splash page at the end.
Yes.
I love my Diodato. It's great.
Haven't seen him since Original Sin.
Right.
Which he wrote every issue of.
Oh, drew every issue of, yeah.
Oh.
And Dark Avengers, he did that great run in Dark Avengers.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He did. So this is definitely one of my candidates for Click of the Week this week.
Yeah. I would agree with that one.
Let's see.
Can I ask you guys a question about the Avengers? Because you guys are all big fans. What's going to happen when Jonathan Hickman ends his run? Like, you know, you have the Kurt Busiek run, then obviously like the Bendis, you know, then there was like the short period of time after that with like a bunch of writers, and then you had like the Bendis run for all those.
There's the New Avengers, right?
Yeah. Right, and now you know Jonathan Hickman is telling a story, right? You know, the first act was Infinity. Infinity is like, what happens now when he ends this? You know, he's created like this Avengers world. Like, who's going to take over, and what's the direction of the Avengers after that?
That's a really good question, and I haven't thought about that, and I'm almost afraid to think about that.
I mean, I have theories on who will be the next writer, if that's what you're asking.
Or anything. I just want to know, is it going to be a small team, or are they going to go with, like, the classic Avengers, or are they going to tie in with the movies? Like, I don't know. Like,
there'll be a definitely going to be a tie-in of the movies. There'll be a relaunch of a new number one, new writer.
They will bring it back small again, probably.
I guess it depends on what happens after Secret Wars, but Rick Remender, who actually, even before this interview, he was my guess for who will be the next writer, just because he's already doing Uncanny Avengers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, he seemed like the next step would be for him to just take on the main Avengers team, period. But he was getting interviewed for All New Captain America, and he was saying how he's doing a tie-in issue to Secret War, and he said, like, after Secret War ends, they come back to, like, the main story of Falcon as Cap, which, of course, leads you to believe that there won't be a rebooting of the universe, so to speak, unless they reboot and he comes back. And I don't see them, like, dropping all his stories, because he's, like, this big, long-form storyteller, so I can't see this Falcon Cap story ending next spring.
No, I don't think that. I think it's going to have longer legs than that. I think it's probably going to go. When is the next Cap movie coming out?
2016.
Next spring, right?
Yeah.
2016.
That's 2016. Right. Maybe. So probably for the majority of 2015, Sam Wilson's going to be Cap.
I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think Remender would be the next writer.
That's a good call. That's possible. Yeah.
But then shoot, the way Jason Aaron's star keeps rising, I could see him taking the Star Avengers book.
How about the Star Wars royalties?
Yeah. won't he have his hands full with Star Wars?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. He's gonna have Star Wars, Thor, and Southern Bastards.
Yeah, I was about to say he's still rocking on Thor, by the way. That's another book I read this week. I don't know
if he already was dropping titles because he needed to cut his workload down. And
right.
Remender just does two Marvel books. So like Uncanny Avengers could end and then he could just take on the Avengers main book.
That'd be interesting.
That's not a bad theory. I think your theory
is and I since I like to theorize, I was thinking about this last night. So they've Atzo Alonso has said in his little Friday CBR interviews earlier in the year that they have a Doctor Strange writer. They just don't have or at least at the time they didn't have an artist decided yet.
Right.
So I like to theorize like who's the writer. First, I was thinking it would be Kieran Gillen, just because I could see him doing like a magic book. But then he was put on this, especially because he had just left Iron Man. So I was like, aha, he left Iron Man to do the new Doctor Strange book, but no, he's doing, Darth Vader or whatever.
Right.
So, my next, because I read too many interviews and discussions with writers and creators.
It's all good, Tim.
So, James Robinson has two books about to be canceled with all the creators.
I love James Robinson, but he can't keep a Marvel book.
Yeah.
The guy can't keep a Marvel book. He's like a DC kind of guy. I read anything he has. He just, you know, like, his style of writing is not for Marvel fans.
So,
no, we're big fans of All New Invaders and, whatchamacallit? Fantastic Four. I'm the Fantastic Four guy, but we like All New Invaders.
But yeah, Invaders we're all on, we're on.
I'm reading both books, but they don't sell. James Robinson's not that commercial guy for Marvel.
Yeah.
So I was thinking he'd be kind of perfect on like whenever they finally decide. Oh yeah, so he has two books ending, and he's already said that he has
another Marvel project, right?
Another Marvel project coming. So at first I was thinking he'd be perfect on, like, if whenever they spin off Inhuman onto, you know, satellite books, just like the X-Men have a whole bunch of family of books. He could do like an Inhuman book with Star and Black Bolt and the main Inhumans roster.
Right.
But then I was like, I wonder if he would be on Doctor Strange. I don't think he'd actually match up, so I don't know if I actually believe my theory or not. But because I felt like they want a recognizable name on Doctor Strange.
Well, like they need to.
Like Ant-Man, you can put Nick. I mean, I like Nick Spencer. I don't know if he's like a big name yet, but you can put him on Ant-Man because people love his Superior Foes, and actually the tone with the humor and whatnot matches perfectly for Ant-Man.
Right.
But like Doctor Strange, I feel like Doctor Strange and Black Panther, whenever they get solo books, like I feel like the creative team, at least the writers, need to be kind of recognizable. Someone that, as I like to put it, a creator that already attends the Marvel retreats, which they actually just had this past week.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Someone who could do books and do magic books and still be recognizable. So like that can't be a big number, you know. So.
Well, and what was the last time Doctor Strange really had, you know, a long run? Right. That was kind of like the mid '90s, right? Or.
But yeah, early true. Mid-90s.
Black Panthers had more runs than Doctor Strange, right?
Yeah.
It's true. It's just hard. Like, Doctor Strange is not a character that we all, you know, kind of like, I think for a limited run, we'll read him, but like for an ongoing run, I don't see people going, oh my god, I need to read Doctor Strange. I need to get the Crimson Bands of
Sidorak.
I don't need to fight some mindless ones.
The roving rings of Rundagor, he has some of the really common spells that you just see him cite over and over again. That's funny.
Well, they could bring back the Defenders and make him back a part of that one.
Well, they've tried Defenders so many times.
I know. Oh my god. I know.
Defenders is like, why don't you just call them the losers?
Oh, you mean the champions?
They actually went to the champions, like, comic or movie or something.
You know they can't use the right. Marvel lost the rights to the champions.
Right. Oh yeah.
Of the game. Yeah, that's why they call them the Order, right?
That's right.
Now I'm all curious, like, who will be the Doctor Strange writer? I'm gonna think about this more after the episode.
Yeah.
Who wrote the Brother Voodoo comic or
Rick Remender? That's what I was thinking of actually.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Just a second ago.
Yeah. And, oh, they killed off another minority character, Marvel? Great, thanks.
Yeah. Although they're maybe
bringing him back. Coming back.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
He's already back. How that is he?
No, yeah. He's that person that hasn't appeared yet.
That's correct.
That's right.
Yeah, Nexus,
even though we know he will appear.
Which
he's on the cover.
Cover.
Yeah, that's right. There's rumors in it.
Nine.
All right.
All right, so, what else we got?
Did anyone read Thor number 3 this week?
I read Thor number 1 and 2.
Well, I won't spoil it, obviously, but we get more my politically incorrect way of addressing the new Thor is Chick Thor. Yes, you can send all angry tweets to @agent_70 on Twitter. My opinions do not reflect the opinions of the Comic Book Chronicles, the Cults of the Podcast, or the Click Nation. I'm calling her Chick Thor for now. So Chick Thor, there's a couple of instances in this issue where some of the older, I'll call them weaknesses of Thor, make a reappearance. Primarily the time that Thor can spend away from Mjolnir without reverting to some sort of alter ego, that is reestablished and revisited here in this issue. And there's a tease, you know, they almost reveal or at least tease a reversion to the alter ego, the person who is actually wielding Mjolnir right now. We have battles between Dario Agger, the CEO of Roxxon, the latest Minotaur, and some Frost Giants and Malekith. who's playing a major role in this first story arc in the new Thor. And the last page of the issue was a pretty big shock to me, because I did not expect this character to appear this soon in the new run of Chick Thor. So I can safely say that this was a very good issue that moved things along plot-wise, story-wise, and you know, we kind of hurtle into the next few issues with I'm waiting with bated breath. I'm anticipating the next few issues to see how this plays out. Jason Aaron is telling a very good story, and Russell Dauterman's art, there's a few instances where it's a little hard to make out what's happening, but that could be due to our, you know, to reading, you know, our preview copies on a tablet and not zooming in all the time. Sometimes you lose some of the details, some of the finer details that the artist puts in, and I think Dauterman's doing a very good job of, you know, kind of weaving small details into these panels. But it does prove to be kind of difficult to follow on a small screen. I'm wondering what this will look like on the printed page when I pick up my copy this week. But otherwise, I enjoyed this. I'm enjoying this current iteration of Thor. And, you know, for anyone who's not picking this up right now, I definitely recommend that you pick this up. Sleeper candidate for my click of the week this week.
Okay. Wayne, what you reading this week, if you got anything?
I did get a chance to go this week, but, I'm reading a lot of
titles here. What are you looking forward to?
I think Axis, Thor, Avengers, you know, what else do I read?
Are you reading Batman Eternal?
Yes, I read Batman Eternal and Future's End, but I'm not reading World 2 and that weekly series.
Okay, I'll jump quickly to Batman Eternal number 36 that's out this week.
Which I really like Batman Eternal, but I know there's a big spoiler this week, so I'm taking my headphones off.
No, you don't have to, I won't reveal it. I won't reveal the spoiler. I do know, I will say that Batman Eternal, I think lately it's been every other issue has been very strong. And it's proven to be a lot easier to read now. There was a stretch of Batman Eternal that I could not take. You know, it was that the Deacon Blackfire story that...
Where was that going?
You know, that was just all over the place. I was not enjoying the book at that time. But the last... I want to say six issues, but it seems to be every other issue that proves to be very strong and real easy for me to follow, given that I'm not always reading Batman Eternal every week. You know, I really like this issue. The last few issues have been good. You know, I don't know if I would recommend going all the way back to the beginning of Batman Eternal. I do know that they have trade paperbacks of the first, I'm not sure how many issues, but they are out on the shelves right now. You can maybe try to catch this in digital format to try to catch up on Batman Eternal. You may just be okay skipping over the Deacon Blackfire stuff. What's going on right now is pretty good. And that's all I'll say, because there are a lot of spoilerific things that I could talk about right now that I won't. But this issue is pretty good. As Wang said, there are things that happen here. There are a few reveals. But it also is a good lead into the next issue. So, you know, Batman Eternal right now is good. If you want to pick up a Batman story that's pretty involved and does involve a lot of the characters in Gotham City, I think Batman Eternal is actually the book to pick up. I think this and Batman are probably the best books on the stands right now for Batman.
Yeah, I'm loving Endgame. I think Batman Eternal. Yes, you're right. It's very on and off, but you know, I don't mind it. It's pretty decent almost every week, except for the Deacon Blackfire story.
Right. Well, that one got me off the rails. That's the thing. I was off the train at that point, so it took me a while to kind of get back into it. Even though we get our copies, you know, I'm trying to flip through it. Like, I don't want to read this. I don't want to read this. So. I mean, it was important because it explains the whole Arkham Manor thing, but, you know.
I'm in the 20s, and I just kind of binged on, like, four issues a couple weekends ago to get me up into... I got up to Hush's reveal.
Right.
I read that issue.
Right. I actually skipped that issue, believe it or not, so I had to figure out how he plays into this.
What I really like, though, is that they did release the trades much earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, previously when DC's done those weekly books, you have to wait till the end, like 1 year later before you start getting trades, and now they're starting to get them out sooner.
No, that's a good idea because these things are, you know, there are so many. I can't speak for the other weekly books like the 52 limited the 52 weekly series that they did, but I think that because the Batman Eternal storyline is actively impacting, you know, other books and playing into what's going on in some of the other books, it's probably in their best interest to put out these trades to get people caught up or to allow people to catch up. You know, I don't know how those other storylines kind of played out in terms of how they affected the continuity. Okay. All right, let's see. Wang, are you looking forward to the new Suicide Squad number 5 that's coming out this week? Are you reading that right now?
I am reading Suicide Squad. It's my favorite team in the world. I do have one issue with kind of like the new 52 version of Suicide Squad.
Okay.
I like the old version, right, with John Ostrander, Kim Yale, and Luke McDonald drawing it, right? These were, like, F-less, like, supervillains. Mm-hmm. Like, these are people, like, don't care about. Like, they're, and you didn't know who was going to die. Like, people were just going to die, you know? And they made characters like Deadshot and, like, Count Vertigo cool, that other people could use them. Now you're kind of putting, like, you got, like, Deathstroke, Black Manta, like Harley Quinn, no one's really going to die. Like, why am I, you know, I want people to die in this. I want people, like, what's a threat? I want a threat of, like, someone going down. You know, I want fat Amanda Waller, you know, not like, no, I don't want skinny Amanda Waller, you know. I want Oprah, not Kerry Washington.
Oh,
right?
No.
Is that wrong for me to say? Like, just tell, you know, you can censor me. I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, that would have been ideal. I think cast Oprah Winfrey as Amanda Waller in the new Suicide Squad movie. I would have forgiven them on the Will Smith Deadshot thing.
Oh.
If that happens, I have to go see that movie, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, Jared Leto's Joker, perfect. I don't know, some skinny blonde chick as Harley Quinn, fine, whatever. But I don't know, Will Smith as, like, Floyd Lawton, I mean, just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my biggest issue with this, and you missed out on our discussion when this when the casting news dropped last week, was why on earth is the Joker in this movie? Why?
Because that's an easily answerable question given the Dark Knight and everything else people know about. You know, the mass media knows about that world. So.
Right, but it just goes to show you that, you know, they don't have the guts to introduce these, you know, no name or little known characters, whereas I guess Marvel built up that cachet. They were like, screw this, we're going to do Guardians of the Galaxy, and you know, and make all this money and create the best movie of the summer with these characters that, you know, dorks like me know, but the general populace don't know.
I think Suicide Squad would work better as a TV show. And, you know, Agent 70, I don't know if you remember, I actually spent a summer interning for Jeanette Kahn, the ex-president of DC Comics, years ago when I was in grad school. Yeah, and she had her own TV movie studio back then. Or she has a production house now, and I interned for her. And one of the things they were working on was actually a Suicide Squad TV show.
Hmm.
And it had the Deadshot. It had Poison Ivy. It had, like, you know, all the characters you wanted. But you know, and people died in it. I read the story outline. So people died. It was awesome.
It's, you know, I don't know. It's not. It doesn't sound as bad as the new Fantastic Four remake. But I don't have the highest hopes for this movie.
Hey, how can you hate on Michael Jordan? Come on. And he was great in Friday Night Lights. I really liked him on Friday Night Lights.
There you go.
I'll give him a chance. He's a good actor. I know people are complaining, but I'll give him a chance.
Yeah, it's not just him. I'll deal with you know, like I said, you missed out on all our rants and raves about this already. But we'll revisit it the closer the movie gets. So, you know, you're welcome back to talk about that. All, you know, by all means.
I mean, it's a terrible Doctor Doom, but whatever. I'm not, you know.
Seriously.
I'd put it with Jessica Alba as Susan Storm, so.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. All right, let's see. What else can we bring up? Wow, it is late, fellas. You want to do rapid fire?
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
here, I got one. X-Men 22.
True.
This ends Mark Guggenheim's run. He does a pretty good job with finishing the story on that one. There was nothing egregiously terrible about it, you know. Rachel and the other X-Men are still out in space fighting the people who they were fighting on, who did some kind of experimentation on other
Brood
races.
And Skrull.
The Brood and Skrull and other races. They finally ended that up, and it tied up pretty nicely. I'm afraid some of that is probably going to come back to with Deathbird and all, but outside of that, it was a pretty good, decent end.
I was happy to see them revisit the storyline that led up to the X-Men going into space. You know, that particular band of X-Men going into space with Havoc.
Warpath.
Exactly. And they revisited that whole thing where the Greys get killed by the Shi'ar death stormtrooper type people. And I'm glad that they finally came back to that. They finally kind of wrapped that up and dealt with it, because it had been an open-ended plot, a dangling plot thread for the longest time. So I'm very happy that Guggenheim came in and kind of wrapped that story up. I wanted to throw in Punisher number 13. This issue was interesting because, as I've said before, they should give Nathan Edmondson all the gun-toting characters in the Marvel Universe because he's very good at writing them. This issue delves into the origin of the latest version of the Howling Commandos, and they are, to a certain extent, related to previous versions of the Howling Commandos. They do shout out in this issue their backstory and their history. It does, unfortunately or fortunately for some, depending on how you look at it, read a lot like an issue of The Activity, which was Edmondson's and Mitch Gerard's book at Image, that I think sold Marvel on letting Edmondson write The Punisher and Black Widow. This issue kind of delves into the motivations and maybe shifting allegiances of the members of this group of Howling Commandos as they're getting ready to engage the Punisher in Los Angeles during a gang, you know, an all-out gang war, kind of providing a third group of combatants. In this battle. So, you know, this issue was focused mainly on the Howling Commandos. It's setting up a confrontation between them, these LA gangs, and the Punisher. As I said, this book is, you know, it has surprised me. You know, I've said this before, I wasn't that keen on the latest take on Punisher, seeing him outside of New York, but I think Edmondson sold me on the story so far. I've actually gone back and bought back issues, so I'm pretty close to being up to date on this volume of Punisher. If anyone's, you know, looking to kind of rekindle that 90s Punisher vibe, I think you can pick it up here. So go out and pick up this book.
Again, Black Widow is great.
Yeah, I was about to say this is a sleeper pick for another sleeper click of the week pick for me because of how much fun I had reading it.
Is Black Widow into Black Widow? That's what I was about to ask.
It did only to the extent that it explains that the Howling Commandos aren't the villains that they were sort of portrayed to be when they first came into the Punisher book.
Right.
You know, there's definitely a lot of gray in their motivations, and there may be another person who's pulling their strings, the strings of the Howling Commandos. So, you know, I know that the Howling Commandos appeared in the Black Widow book recently.
Right, the last one.
And they did not come off like the jerks that they come off as in this book. So, you know, it's an interesting read. I give Edmondson a lot of credit for selling me on a new version of the Punisher in L.A. Mm.
Okay.
All right. Other books you want to throw out? Rapid fire time?
Sure. Here's two. Nightcrawler number 9.
Shoot.
It was a pretty good fight. No. Nightcrawler is fighting the X-Men because they have been taken over by the Shadow King. And it also blends in some flashbacks to Wolverine training Nightcrawler in how to deal with, basically in how to deal with them or anybody, you know, like them that happens to get taken over by somebody. So in that respect, it's a pretty good nostalgia issue and a pretty decent fight.
Okay.
And I guess going along with that, not necessarily, Amazing X-Men number 14, which is an X's tie-in dealing with Mystique going after Nightcrawler since he's inverted.
Is it time to drop Amazing X-Men?
Should I wait for the Juggernaut story? I would say wait for the Juggernaut story. Because not sure how that's going on. But as a one-shot story as this is, it was actually pretty good. I thought in reading in this, this would have made a good story for a Mystique book if Mystique was actually, you know, still inverted,
I gotcha.
Yeah, but it was actually a pretty good read. Like I said, it's told from Mystique's point of view, and she going after Kurt and not wanting him to do anything he regrets, which he's, you know, going around doing stuff that you wouldn't think he was doing, since there are bigger issues going on in the X's world. But, you know, it was a setup for the story.
All right. The last book I'll throw out that I'd read was Green Lantern Corps number 37. This is the latest chapter in the Godhead crossover amongst the Green Lantern
books. Agent 70, are you the eighth person who reads that book?
Possibly. The Godhead crossover is actually pretty good. You know, it's
the ads are awesome. The ads are awesome. Yeah. But
it's served its purpose in introducing or reintroducing the new gods. They really make, you know, the new gods a formidable group. And formidable adversaries for the Green Lantern Corps, the various light corps. This issue was, it's probably a more, it's not, I wouldn't want to skip this particular chapter the way other chapters can be skipped. I've said it before, there's definitely been a number of issues in this Godhead crossover that you could skip and still keep tabs on the main story. I think this issue is pretty important because it does deal with a lot of the fallout of what's happened to the White Lantern, Kyle Rayner. It does deal with what's happening with every Lantern that's not working directly with Hal Jordan's team right now because they're trying to come up with a plan at the Source Wall. Yeah, maybe I'm the 10th person that's reading this right now, but it's gotten, you know, we've talked about this crossover on the show for a while now, and we've given it positive reviews every time a chapter's come up. It's served to, you know, enhance the new gods' reputation in the new 52, but you know, I agree there's probably not a lot of attention being given to the storyline.
Does it make you care about the new gods?
I never cared about the new gods, but they make them formidable in this, as opposed to just, you know, sort of out there. You know, they didn't have much characterization prior to this, in my opinion. I didn't read Simonson's run on New Gods back in the mid-2000s, so I can't say if any of this stuff is treading new ground. But, you know, they're at least formidable. I won't go so far as to say that they're interesting, but they're at least formidable.
My burger was formidable tonight.
Where is it? I gotta get to the damn sound effect. Where is it? All right. So I think we did quick. I think we just wrapped up rapid fire. We can move on to clicks of the week. Our picks of the week this week.
While you're thinking about that, because I'm still got to think about it myself, I want to bring up something from a couple of things from last week, if I can.
Oh, back issues.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Shaft. I think that was okay. Shaft number one came out last week.
Yes.
Damn right. You're damn right.
So this book has me curious because it has me curious because as a fan of the movie Shaft, for one thing, and two, where this is going to go, because it is looks like it's taking place
in the past, at least
in the past before the Shaft we know and love. So there's a lot of interesting. I guess we'll get to see the formulation of the man we know as John Shaft.
Exactly.
So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing more of that, and it is heavily influenced in the blaxploitation film, so there is the language involved in that. But and not even a but, because I don't like that kind of stuff. But that has been a good interest in me, so I'm looking forward to the next issue. And then there's Powers, which I guess I'm starting to read because, well, the show's supposed to be coming out sometime this month, even though it's not going to have much to do with the book. So far, it's been okay. I mean, it's got its own little charm to it.
Alrighty.
So, more on that later.
Let's see. Oh, you know what? I forgot to mention something I did enjoy this week. I did not have a chance to put it on my list of things to read. Tim, you didn't read Amazing number 11 this week?
You muted.
Are you on mute, Tim? Are you asleep?
Muted. No wonder y'all didn't hear me, I guess, earlier when I chimed in here and there.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. It, Oliver Corpwell, the god, as I call him.
Art. I had a problem with this art in this issue, right at the very beginning.
It wasn't, I don't know if it's because maybe I'm not used to seeing him draw Spider-Man.
It was him trying to differentiate between Spidey-Ock and Peter Parker. You know, trying to ugly up Peter Parker / Spidey-Ock to differentiate him from, you know, the 616. And I had real issues with how he drew the face.
Who's drawing him?
Olivier Corpel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Olivier.
Doing this issue of Amazing Spider-Man, part three of the Spider-Verse crossover. But
that's one where they fight, right?
Yeah, temporarily.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a good issue. I enjoyed it. Again, this does play off it does play the same way the last issue played, where you kind of have to where you see panels that say, you know, see this book for the ongoing adventures of this group of spiders that are going off to do this. And yes, I guess you don't necessarily have to go off and read those stories, but some of them are fun. Some of them were actually illustrated in the Spider-Verse team up. Is that what the title was this week?
There's Scarlet Spider.
Spider-Verse team up.
No, but this week was Spider-Verse team up number two. Was a direct tie-in with this week's issue of Amazing. And just as a quick, quick shot on that, it was good, but the stories are very short. There's not that much development. Spider-Gwen does have the second half of the Spider-Verse team-up book for the older. This definitely is not going to be familiar to Tim, but will be familiar to myself, Roddy, and Wang. There is a great, great shout out to the 60s Spider-Man cartoon in the first half of this Spider-Verse team-up issue.
Nice.
You will go into this, flip through it, Wang. I know Roddy has a preview copy.
Yeah.
Read this, take a look at it. You will smile at some of the things that they reference in the 60s Spider-Man part of the story.
Does it have the spider buggy? Spider-Verse.
What's that?
Does it have the spider buggy?
No. But it's almost, there's a couple of panels that look like they were just taken off of the animation cells from the 60s Spider-Man. It's okay. Pretty funny. It's pretty funny. I think you'll appreciate it. So I'm glad that we got that, and I'm surprised that that we missed out on the Spider-Verse stuff, because I'm actually enjoying the Spider-Verse crossover, except for the fact that we still don't understand why the Inheritors are doing what they're doing.
That's my big issue with that storyline. I don't really care about the Inheritors. I know they're just like the big, they're like the Terminators. I don't really care.
Right. they have. It's taken far too long for Slot. I mean, to tell us why they're doing what they're doing. That's all. That's really my biggest thing. You know, we've read how many issues of this? We had Edge of Spider-Verse, Spider-Verse. We have the various tie-ins, and we still don't understand why the Inheritors are doing what they're doing.
My toilet paper has Spider-Verse on it, too, because I'm trying to read issues on my toilet paper.
This is Dan Long Game Slot we're talking, so...
Yeah, well, everyone's got their long game, but at some point you have to explain what these what the motivation of the villain is.
Yeah.
At some point. All right, so we did back issues. We caught up on Spider-Verse.
I read Legendary Star-Lord last week. I like that.
There you go. Yeah.
That's good. I'm excited for the Black Vortex storyline.
I am too, actually. Of course, I said this about Axis too, but usually I'm pretty good at guessing which events I'll actually be excited about. But, yeah, Black Vortex, I think it'll be good. Sam Humphrey supposedly is, like, the main architect of it, so his first time doing a crossover event.
I really like the weird kind of books in it, sort of, you know, like New X-Men, Nova, Cyclops, you know, Legendary Star-Lord. It's appealing to me. It reminds me of those old kind of, like, 90s, like, weird 90s crossovers when they had, like, I don't know if you guys remember... Cage, Terror Incorporated, and Punisher were all basically on a cruise ship together. And that was a crossover. That was awesome.
Speed on a boat.
Oh man.
We're Die Hard on a boat.
Oh my gosh! I remember
you guys
that.
You guys remember that? So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh my.
Those are the days of like the most awesome Defenders team ever, right? The Secret Defenders.
Oh Defenders. Awesome.
Oh, speaking of, Secret War from 2005 and Secret Warriors, also putting that on the back issues, even though I hadn't read it yet. But
oh, yes, you want to read Secret Warriors because I definitely think Secret Warriors was a very strong influence on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show and how they're formulating the plot lines. I think Secret Wars had a very big influence on that.
Yeah, you should probably get the... there's a complete trade paperback of Secret Warriors. It's a hard slog though. Don't read it at night. It's very dense.
No, I'm just.
It is Hickman. Hickman, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very.
So anything Hickman is always going to be a tough slog at some point.
I read the first arc of Secret Warriors actually like over the summer.
Yeah.
It had been on my list for a while, mostly because of the Stefano Caselli art.
Yeah,
Secret Wars. And is it Secret War?
Secret War.
Yeah, singular.
Secret War. That's the Del Otto Bendis one, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like his art too.
All right. Clicks of the week. Clicks of the week. It's getting late.
I'm gonna go with the Valiant number one.
Nice. I will go with. It's been a while. I haven't picked an Avengers book in a while. I'm going with Avengers number 39. I had a grand time reading this. It was a lot of fun. Thor number 3 came in close second.
You mean Chick Thor number 3?
Chick Thor number 3, that's right.
And Roddy? Who's on mute?
Yeah, because I was trying to type this stuff in. I will go ahead and co-sign Avengers 39.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that'll be what I read after the show is over.
Yeah.
I think it probably is actually like next up in my queue. Because I tried to sort the stuff, to sort the books how the order I want to read them.
There you go.
Because I had the only reason I went and jumped Axis ahead of everything was I wanted to find out what big revelation there was.
Yeah.
And then I was mad I actually did it.
It's like, I could have skipped over this.
Yeah.
Why? Gotta love it.
All right. Want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight's show. Want to thank Wang and BDM for joining us tonight. Make sure, again, check out their Kickstarter.
Yes. Get to their Kickstarter. Push them Genesis. Over the top.
We'll share the link all the rest of the week going into next week.
Thank you again. This was a lot of fun. It's very hard for me to find people who actually know about what's going on in comics currently, and this was a lot of fun. So hopefully you guys will have me back on one day.
Absolutely. Yeah, man,
definitely.
More than welcome. More
we
than
do this
welcome.
Every Thursday night. So more than welcome. Let people again know where to find you online.
You know, we have a Facebook page for Emergence Genesis. You can find that. We're on Kickstarter right now. Emergence Genesis. Just type that in, or you can find me on Twitter at MattWang97.
Cool. And follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at TheClickNation. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at NewsNerdsNeed.
Yes.
Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. And make sure to go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. And with that, we'll be back next week as we keep marching along to episode 100.
We're almost there, people!
So I believe the way to go.
I think we're going to hit 100 in the new year.
Yeah, because we'll do next week, and then after that is Christmas, right?
Yeah, yeah. Christmas and then New Year's, back to back.
If we get two more, well, at least we definitely have a break in 2 weeks. And then we'll see about doing the 100th on the January 1st.
Yeah. Week or not.
We shall see.
Yeah, stay tuned to Twitter and see what we announce. We will have something big for episode 100.
And with that, we are the Comic Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!
Bye.